On, even if you're standing up here. God bless you. Go ahead and grab a Bible and turn with me in Mark chapter 4. Apologize, we started a little late today, so I'm just going to dive into it. My name is Tien, one of the pastors here. Glad to be here with you. We are continuing on in this series through the Gospel of Mark. And we've been studying the Gospel of Mark kind of verse by verse. And, the Gospel of Mark is the very first written account of the life of Jesus. And we're just going back to the source. A lot of times you hear a lot of stuff about what people say about Jesus. We're going back to the original source here, what the Bible says. And we're trying to figure out who Jesus is, why he came. And the most important question is, what does he want from us? In today's story, Mark chapter 4, we're going to see the disciples experience their first test of their faith, test of their faith. I don't know about you, but I remember my when I experienced my first test of faith, I was a very young Christian. You know, life wasn't really working out right for me. I came from a real rough background, and I started seeking God, and I started going to church. I didn't know anything about God, and when I went to church, the message was, you know, God loves you, he has a plan for your life, and they kept on telling me, and I said, I'm not sure, and when I finally said, okay, life's not working, I'm gonna choose to follow Jesus, right, because my life's not working, God has a plan. And the thing is, very soon after I gave my life to follow Jesus, I said, I'm gonna go all in, my life started to unravel, started getting worse. You know, all this crazy stuff. I was thinking, hey, that's not what I signed up for. You know, I thought if I would follow Jesus, things would start to work out for me. And I said, God, they said you love me, you have a plan. I didn't know it was a bad plan, you know. I thought it was going to be, you know. And the question I started asking is God, why did you allow this to happen? So crazy stuff in my family. My mom left us and all this stuff. You know, why did you allow this to happen? God, don't you care? Don't you care about what's going on? And I think that's a common thing. That's a test of our faith that we all go through. We all go through seasons of hardship, of difficulty. Some of you guys are just coming out of one, right? Some of you are in a difficult situation right now, hardship. And others of you are about to go into one. You just don't know it yet, right? If you're one of those people like, oh, no, life's good. I've never been, oh, I don't want to be you right now because it's coming, right? We all go through seasons of hardship. And a lot of times, we go through these things because of something we do, right? But there's a lot of other times we go through hardship and difficulty through no fault of our own. We didn't do anything. We're trying to follow God. We're trying to serve God and everything. And then things just start crashing in on us, right? Some of you right now are experiencing some financial difficulty, right? A lot of people in our country are. Some of you are experiencing some health difficulty, trials, hardships, some internal difficulties. You're struggling with something just with yourself, right? It's just some internal, some relationship difficulties, right? People in your life, they hurt you, they wronged you, and just some difficult situations. You know, some of you going through some spiritual difficulty, and life's just out of control, and it's unmanageable. And the thing is, when life is out of control and it's unmanageable, we face difficulty and hardship. One of the first things that we do is we start to doubt and question God, and we start to blame God. We ask God, did you go to sleep on me or something? You know, what's going on here? You know, God, are you even there? So if you have experienced that emotion, asking God, are you even there? The good news is that's you're not alone in that, right? We're going to see in this story in Mark chapter 4 that the disciples know exactly how you feel. So turn with me in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. Let me go ahead and read this story. It's a story about Jesus calming the storm. Verse 35 says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. A furious squall came up. That's a big storm, right? A big storm came up, and the waves broke over the boat, and it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, okay, for that means that's the back of the boat, right? We're city folk here, that's the back, okay? He was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him and said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? It's like, Jesus, what, you falling asleep on us, Jesus? Don't you know what's going on here? Right? I don't know, have you ever been there? Right? Jesus, don't you know what's going on in my life? Don't you know what's going on in my family? Don't you know that some stuff's about to come down? Don't you know that my so-and-so, you know, you heard the prayer request, you know, so-and-so is sick and so-and-so is going through this, right? And then Jesus got up, verse 39, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still, right? Just like what you say to a little kid, little bratty kid, shut up, sit down, and stay there, right? And Jesus said that to the wind, and said, then the wind died down, and it was completely calm, right? And it's interesting. He stopped the wind, but you know, like when a storm passes, the wind stops, but the waves still, you know, go crazy for a few hours, right? But he says, quiet, be still, not just to the wind, but the waves also. And all of a sudden, this big wave is like, it was like the sea was like glass, right? And the reaction of the disciples, and he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Yes, I'm like, why are you still afraid? Right? And then their reaction, verse 41, is interesting. And they were terrified, and they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Let me bring out some observations, and let me try to apply this to our situation today, right? We see it in this story that the very reason that they experienced this storm was not out of disobedience. They weren't saying, oh, Jesus, we don't want to, you know. Jesus said, let's get in the boat and let's go over there. They said, yes, master, we'll follow you. And it led them right into a storm. You guys been there? Right? He's like, I'm going to get my life straight. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then what's going on? How come? I thought if I was to follow you, it's supposed to be blessing and roses and all that stuff. And why am I in a storm if I follow what you told me to do? Right? So they're in the storm not because of their disobedience, but because of their obedience, right? Something out of the control. And they faced a storm that was way more powerful than they could handle. It was unmanageable, was uncontrollable. It attacked their self-confidence, right? Because what were these boys? Who were they? They were fishermen. They fished in this lake 6 days a week, right? They grew up on the ocean, right? They grew up on the sea. They did this for a living. Their daddy was a fisherman. Their granddaddy was a fisherman. They grew up there, right? But somehow this storm, it came in and attacked their self-confidence. And you notice, they said they try to deal with it until they almost drown. They're like, you know, hey, this is all right. You know, this, we're okay. But when they called to Jesus, was like, we're almost dead, right? So they try to handle it on, you guys do that? Right? We try to handle it on our own. We're fine, okay. And then it's only when they're like, oh, I'm about to get it. Jesus. Jesus. Right? Right? So it attacked their self-confidence. But you notice the question that they asked Jesus, right? They didn't say, Master, can you do something about this? No. They questioned his goodness. So what did they say? Don't you care? Jesus, don't you care what we're going through? They, you know, it's this attitude that they have. They doubt it and they question. It's like, Jesus, why are you asleep on us? Right? I mean, that's an immediate reaction that we have. We don't just go humbly and say, Jesus, I'm sorry for not coming to you before. I knew you could take care of this, but I was trying to do it on my own. But we try to do it on our own, and it doesn't work. And then we're like, then we go and then we get angry at God. Don't you care? It's like, you didn't even ask me, right? Jesus does this miracle. Be still, quiet, be still. The wind and the waves die down. And this is the crazy part. It says, you notice the reaction? It says they were afraid of the storm. But when Jesus calmed it says they were terrified. They're like, it's more scary being in this boat with Jesus than being in that storm. Because that storm is a storm, but I don't even know what he just did. Because that storm was unmanageable, uncontrollable, and more powerful than I. But this guy in the boat is even more powerful than that, more uncontrollable. And he's like, we can't control, we can't manage Jesus. A lot of times we think we can, right? Like we try to manage Jesus, we try to get Jesus to do what we want. And when we realize he's so much bigger, more powerful than we, it's like, I'm even more afraid of Jesus. Like, I don't know if he could do that. He might ask me to do some stuff, and I don't even know what to do with that, right? And their reaction is this: even after they saw this miracle, they still don't see, they still don't understand, they still don't know who Jesus is, they don't trust him, and they say, who is this, right? So those are some observations. Let me go ahead and pull this down. I'm sorry, I'm going to talk fast because we run low. We started late, okay? In your bulletin, in your program, there's some fill in the blanks. I want to give you three action steps about how to deal with life storms and three attitudes to have, okay? Three action steps that leads to three attitudes. When storms come, what should we do? Okay, the first one, you want to fill in this blank, is that you need to realize that Jesus is more powerful than our storms. You need to understand that Jesus is more powerful, right? The storm there, it caused them to be to fear, right? They were afraid for their lives, right? The storm was unmanageable, was uncontrollable. But Jesus, when he calmed the storm, it says they were even more terrified, right? And the thing is, we need to realize that Jesus is more unmanageable, more uncontrollable, more powerful than that storm. And you guys watch that movie, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Narnia, right? In the original book, you guys know that C.S. Lewis, a Christian author, he wrote that book to kids to try to explain who Jesus was, right? And he made this lion named Aslan, right? And it was a story about Jesus, right? So he was trying to describe Jesus to children. And in the story, there was this little girl named Lucy. She goes in there to Narnia, and she talks to this big old beaver, right, Mr. Beaver. And Mr. Beaver was talking about, hey, the king of this place, his name is Aslan. He's a lion. He's strong. He's powerful. And then Lucy asks him, Aslan, is he safe? She's all worried. Is he safe? And Mr. Beaver's like, safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he's not safe, but he is good, and he's our king, right? And that's what Jesus is. Right? We come and we think of Jesus. Jesus, is he safe? Is it okay to follow him? It's like, no, Jesus is not safe. He's crazy. He calmed that storm. He told that storm to shut up, right? And it did. That's the crazy part, right? And he's powerful. He's unmanageable. He's like, but he's good, right? Like, you could fear that storm, because that storm doesn't love you, right? But what you need to do is you need to submit to Jesus, because he loves you, right? He's more powerful than that storm. So when we understand that Jesus is more powerful than our storm, that results in an attitude of submission, okay? Fill in that blank. Results in an attitude of submission. When we understand how powerful it is, we need to understand that it's our job to submit to him, right? So that's the first attitude we have. First thing we need to realize is he's more powerful than the storms in our life, right? No matter what you're going through, right? Second thing is this. While going through a storm, never doubt God's goodness. Never doubt God's goodness, right? We have this premise. We ask Jesus, Jesus, I'm going through this. Why did you fall asleep on me? You know, don't you care that I'm going through this? Because we have this premise in our mind. And to be honest, I relate with the disciples, because I would ask that same question. I ask the same question all the time. You know, why did you allow me to do this, right? We have this premise in our mind that says, God, if you love me, you would not allow me to go through some mess in my life. Right? If you really love me, if you knew what, like, I question that you love me, right? And Jesus is saying this. He says, your premise is all wrong. I do allow people I love to go through storms, right? You got it all wrong. You're thinking about it wrong. I do allow people I love to go through storms. I mean, you read through the Bible, every single person that God loved and used, like, could you, I can't think of one story that one guy, you know, he had a great life, lived happily ever after, gone through nothing. I can't think of one story, right? And we just need to remember that when we go through storm, we should not doubt God's goodness, right? We need to remember two things when we're going through the storm, right? We need to remember God's presence and his promises, right? Even though they were going through the storm, who was still there with them? Jesus was there with them, right? He didn't say, hey, you guys take care of this stuff. I'm going to walk myself back to shore because I can do that, right? Right, he was with them, right? He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. His presence is with us. But also, you got to remember his promises, right? He promised that he will not give us anything that we cannot handle, right? 1 Corinthians 10:13, right? He will not give us anything that we can handle. He promises that everything that we go through, all the trials in our life, are with a purpose behind it, right? To build our faith. In James chapter 1, it says that the testing, trials, is a testing of our faith produces perseverance and maturity in our lives, right? He also promises that there is nothing on this earth that can separate us from his love. Right? He says, I'm going to be there. You got to remember, right? You got to remember these things. When you're going through a storm, you got to remember I'm there. You got to remember my word, what I promise you, right? That I love you. I'm not going to nothing can separate my love from you. And what does that result in? It results in the attitude of confidence. Confidence, right? So that while you're going through the storm, you realize that God is with me. He loves me. He will help me. He's promised to not give me too much that I can't handle. He promised that he's going to take this trial and build my faith in this trial and mature me and use this later on, right? Gives me confidence while I'm going through it. It doesn't mean that he's going to take it away, but it gives me confidence that there's a purpose for this. And even though it's hard, God is with me, okay? So when you're going through a storm, do not doubt God's goodness, right? Number three, what else should we do, okay? That we need to remember that Jesus has already calmed the most violent storm we'll ever face. That Jesus has already calmed the most violent storm we'll ever face. That we face all kinds of storms in life, right? Storms in our relationships, our finances, all kinds of storms, right? But Jesus already calmed the biggest storm in our lives, right? And this is the interesting thing. You guys know about the story of Jonah, you know, Jonah and the big fish. You guys know that story? It's amazing that this story about Jesus and the story of Jonah is almost identical, okay? And this is the thing. The story of Jonah and Jesus, they were both in a boat, right? They both were, the boat was overtaken by this huge giant storm. They were both asleep during that storm. They were both awakened by these seasoned sailors. They knew how to be a good sailor. They knew the ocean, but they were awakened by the sailors because they were fearing death. Like, we're going to die, right? And both of them calmed the storm. Right? They both calmed that storm. And in both stories, the reactions of the sailors, the people on the boat, were the same. They were even more terrified after it happened, right? But the only difference is this, is how they calmed the storm. Jesus calmed the storm by saying, peace, be still, right? Waves calm down. But you know how Jonah calmed that storm, right? He jumped off the boat. He says, there's only one way to save you guys, and you need to throw me over, okay? And after he went into the water, complete stillness, right? And this is the thing. There's a parallel here, right? The Bible is one book God put together. There's this thread. In Matthew chapter 12, the Jews, right, were asking for a sign. They said this, Jesus, we want to see us. You're talking about you're the Son of God, the Messiah. We need to see a sign right now. Show us a sign that you're the Son of God. He says this, you want to see a sign? I'm going to give you the sign of Jonah. Right? For one greater than Jonah has come. You want to see a sign? I'm about to jump off this boat. You're in a storm right now. You don't even know it. I'm about to jump off this boat and save you guys by giving my life for you. Right? You want to see a sign? That's the only sign I'm going to give you. I'm going to jump off this boat and save you. And what we don't realize is that the biggest storm you will ever face is the storm of God's wrath poured out because of your sin. Right? This is the thing. Right? The Bible tells us that God is holy and he's righteous. We sing songs, holy, right? We don't even know what that means, right? Holy means that he cannot stand your sin, right? Righteous means that he has to judge your sin, right? A righteous judge has to give down punishment. And the Bible says God's wrath is being poured out on the wickedness of man, right? He cannot allow God, his wrath, like he cannot allow sin to be in his presence. But Jesus, right, 1 John 2:2, 1 John 4:10, it says that he became the atoning sacrifice for our sin. That word atoning sacrifice, you know what that means, right? In the original language, it means he's the appeasement of God's wrath, right? God is angry with us. He's a holy God. He cannot bear to have sin in his presence. He has to punish. But what takes away his anger? Right? It's Jesus, right? I mean, I was thinking about an illustration. This is a poor illustration, but maybe I'm going to try, okay? I have a friend. When she was growing up, she had a dad that was just a mean drunk, right? Like, he would come home from work and go to the bar, come home drunk, and she was a teenager. This is when I was doing youth ministry, and she would come up, and I had to counsel her, and she was a teenager because he would come, dad would come home drunk from the bar and beat up on her mom and beat up on her little brother who was just a little kid, right? So as a teenager, when dad would come home drunk, she would go up and provoke him. Dad, why are you doing this? So she would get beat up so mom wouldn't get beat up, and so that her little brother wouldn't get beat up, and then afterwards he would be calm, right? Now, see, this is the thing. That's a bad illustration. God, I don't want to make God the Father out to be like this abusive father, right? But because his anger towards us is just. We deserve it, right? But the fact of what that girl was trying to do was take the wrath away from the people that she loved, right? And on the cross, that's what Jesus did. On the cross, Jesus was up there on that cross, and God's wrath was poured down on him. And he was like, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Why did you, he was taking God's wrath away from us, right? And that's the biggest storm that we will ever face. And Jesus already calmed that storm, right? So the idea is this. When you go through some of this little stuff, don't you dare ask God, where are you? Right? Don't you dare ask God, are you falling asleep on me? Right? He has not fallen asleep on us. We've fallen asleep on him. We're like the disciples at the Garden of Gethsemane. We fell asleep on him. Right? So if you have this attitude, if this gets ingrained in your soul, you truly understand what Jesus already did, that results in an attitude of gratitude. Amen. Just thank Jesus. Gratitude. That Romans 8:32 says this. He says, he who did not even spare his own son, how will he not, along with him, give us all things? It says, if God already did that, calm the biggest storm, why are you worried about this little stuff going on in your life? Right? When we truly understand what Jesus already did, we're going to realize that he's never fallen asleep on us. Never. Never. So that produces us in an attitude of we need to submit. We need to have confidence in that storm. We need to be grateful for what he's already done, right? Does that mean that you won't go through some stuff? You're going to go through some stuff, right? But you're going to go through it with confidence and gratitude. Let me give you a closing thought here. It says, when we truly grasp what Jesus has already done for us, we will never say, God, don't you care? We'll never say that because we know God cares. He loves us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and just want to thank you. Lord, we are so unworthy of your love. Lord, we are so forgetful of what you've done. And we Lord, we're so sorry for not being grateful, more grateful for what you have already done. Lord Jesus, thank you for calming the biggest storms in our life. The storm of God's wrath for our sin. Help us to live life in gratitude because of that fact. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Theon. Great message, and right on time. Holy cow. He got a lot in there. That was fantastic. Fantastic. That closes our service for today. Thank you so much for coming. A few things before you go. There's an offering box in the back. If you came prepared to give or God's put it on your heart to give, that's where it goes, right? There's a black box in the stand. Just slides in there. Remember, before you leave today, if you're going to be bringing a box next week, one of those boxes of love, come tell me today. I need to know today so I can tell a family, so we can assign it to a family that's going to receive it. And the next Sunday, bring those boxes with you. You can either bring them to church or you can bring them up 4:30 when we're ready to deliver. Either one's fine. But that's it for today. God bless you all. Thanks for being here. There's going to be snacks next door in the fellowship hall. Let's save our fellowshipping for next door, all right, so we can clear out of this space so Shoreline can come in and start their service. Thank you for being here.